This time on Kawaii Radio, we discuss the weird world of Ninja X Gokudo.
They're meeting up in their public lives and they're having fun together doing things.
It's not will they, won't they kiss, it's will they, won't they stab.
Yeah, basically.
And Romeo and Juliet, but no, actually that's the same ending, stabbing, yeah. And Aaron explains Chainsaw Man.
He met Shotaka.
What? No! Tifa, help me here. I can't handle this.
Nobody can handle this.
even Tifa's like, nah, I'm out, man.
Avalanche! Tetsuo!
Kaneda!
Onita?
It's over 9,000!
Nani?
Configure the language logic interface for Japanese.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi radio!
Konnichiwa and welcome. You tune in to Kawaii Radio, the podcast. We dive into the world of anime, manga, and all things Japanese otaku culture, and occasionally Korean, as it turns out. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron. Tifa is on the remote. How's everybody doing?
Yeah.
We're alive. This episode, Chainsaw Man, the movie, Res Arc. I'm sure there's more things we can add after it, but we've all seen it. We all have thoughts because we like the creator of Chainsaw Man. He does amazing work. And I think this is a great example, especially after look back, of how he can do something that is at the complete other end of the field. So
he did look back?
Yeah, yeah. That was meant to be like semi-autobiographical.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So good. And the short story is amazing too.
Yeah, I was going to say, after this episode, next episode, we're actually doing another thing by him, which is 1726, which is about all the manga he created during the ages of 17 to 26, which just landed on Prime. So there you go. There's a lot of work from this guy.
So we don't even do 26 episodes in a whole year, and this guy gets three of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's worth it. Honestly worth it.
Worth it. But yeah, now if you're new to the podcast, hi, you must be confused. But hello to all our regular listeners as well. And we're on YouTube where you can watch us there as well. And extra content is on Patreon if you want to support us there too. Let's get stuck in with what we've been watching.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Oh, hi up!
Peg time! I gotta go!
I have to know!
Hooray! I did that thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching.
Alrighty. So, we've all been watching and reading stuff this season. My God, me and Tifa have both been reading a lot of manga, but let's talk anime first. Aaron, you've been watching Ninja X Gokudo, which I sent you. I said, watch this. And I'm surprised you... Well, I'm not surprised you did. I'm surprised you enjoyed it as much as you did.
Look, I'm a very simple man. I like my shonen tropes. I like a good fight. And this one hits those nails on the head. But then it's also got something that I thought you'd like in it, which is like that almost Romeo and Juliet sort of like... thing that the main two characters have going
on. Yeah, it's very gay.
Oh, it is so incredibly gay.
So, I'll let you explain what this series is about.
Okay.
Because you've watched more than me. I've only watched one episode. You've watched...
Three, four?
Yeah.
I don't know how many are out. I watched them all in one go and I was like, yes. What was that? The feudal period. There was like
the Sengoku era or there's a lot of, yeah.
Okay.
Back in the samurai times.
Back in the samurai times.
Edo.
Edo. Yeah.
Edo period. That's was the specific one they picked for this.
So there were a ninja killed off one of the big warlords and he had a bunch of essentially Gokudo, which are like gangsters underneath him. And they swore revenge on the ninjas. And then I think the... ninjas lost someone to the Gokudo and they swore revenge on the Gokudo and now they've got this eternal war going on.
So it's ninjas versus gangsters basically.
Yeah.
Slash Yakuza.
And it's just been going on since that warring period, but it's now in modern times. That's the word I was looking for. I almost said medieval. Wrong period.
Very different.
Well, I was going to say, are we in the Meiji era now? Or no, we've gone past that. We're in the Ren era in Tokyo, in Japanese calendar. I can't remember.
I like Meiji chocolates.
Meiji chocolate's great. I don't know if it's from the Meiji era, but yeah, anyway, it's modern times. There's anime and pop culture and trains.
Yeah. Which actually play a big part of the main two characters. So they don't know each other's backstories. They just know each other as a businessman and a high school kid. But the high school kid is a ninja, and the businessman's obviously a Gokudo. He's actually one of the high-ranking ones. And they meet, and they find out that they've got a love for the same anime show.
Which is like Magical Girls.
Yeah, it's like a Magical Girl
It's not like Sailor Moon Magical Girls. It's more like pretty Precure.
Yeah, I was going to say Precure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Gokudo drops his phone and the ninja picks it up. He's like, oh, hey, that's a super limited edition, blah, 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 blah. Just like fully goes. And the Gokudo's like, oh, you know your stuff. And then they go their separate ways and like they keep like influencing each other's lives in the background, but never directly confronting each other with their secret lives. And just the will they, won't they constant, like, they're meeting up in their public lives and they're having fun together doing things.
It's not will they, won't they kiss, it's will they, won't they stab.
Yeah, basically. And like,
Romeo and Juliet, but no, actually that's the same ending, stabbing, yeah.
But it's just, oh man, if you enjoy your shonens, you'll like this. If you enjoy the suspense of how much can they get away without like actually realizing it, like when are they going to find out, you know, it's a good show to watch because like I think it's 3-4 episodes out now. It's really good pacing.
I think we'd be getting close to about 5 or 6 now.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. I need to go watch some more.
five, because episode 6 should be this week, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, definitely watching more. But just the characters are so interesting. It's almost got a Bucky Hanma art style.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit rough around the edges in some parts.
Yeah,
in,
like they've on got purpose, the though. Really long noses and like the really tender lips and like the eyelashes. Oh my goodness, the eyelashes.
<They're> fabulous.
Yes, so fabulous. But like just, yeah, check it out if you enjoy your shonens because I'm a shonen guy.
You are a shonen guy. You do like your shonen. And sometimes you pick good ones.
Hey,
don't worry. Sometimes I pick good romance. Sometimes. We all have our mishits.
We're pros. We've been doing this for years.
Yeah. But yeah, that one's Crunchyroll from memory.
Yeah, I thought it was Prime.
Or was it Prime?
Pretty sure it's Prime.
I can't remember anymore.
We're getting old.
Well, no, it's more the Google TV interface because it just goes, you are watching this. You click and it takes you straight in. You continue. That's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amazon Prime. So there you go. Tifa, you have been reading something in celebration of 25 years of something. What is this something?
Yes, it's the 25-year anniversary of Nana. And obviously, it's a cult classic amongst many women specifically. But because I always watched the anime, I never read the manga. I thought, oh, well, 25 years, I should read it and have a look. And it's actually a bit different. I feel like, you know how Oshinoko, in the manga, the bits with the mum are like the beginning of different chapters, and then instead they put it all together and they made it one
episode.
For the
first episode.
Yeah. So the actual meeting on the train of the two girls named Nana happens at the beginning of the anime, but it actually happens a little further down in the manga. So there are different, it's like rearranged a little bit, and I feel like my view of it is a little different now. And I also think reading it as someone who is an adult in comparison to a child, when most people read it as a teen, but these are all characters in their 20s, is very different because a lot of it is super complex and about adult life, and it's not like happy-go-lucky or anything. Everyone always talks about the fashion and all these really cool things, but it's really like abusive relationships with people, toxic issues, idolization, and it gets really like, you know how Banana Fish gets kind of darker and darker?
Yeah.
This kind of also gets darker and darker, and I feel like in the manga it really showcases that a lot more, whereas in the anime I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, and I think that some of the things aren't as obvious.
No, I think she's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the anime kind of puts a bit too much of a glaze of shiny happiness on everything compared to what actually is happening in the background.
Yeah.
And that, like, that was one of the criticisms that we did here, because we talked about this, geez, all the way back in, like, episode 58 of the podcast, I think. And we were talking about it back then because it was going back to physical media for the first time in who knows how long, because the rights had been stuck in purgatory.
Yeah.
And when it did come through, we were saying, like, yeah, it does seem to, like, kind of gloss over some of these heavier subjects, and it was one of the criticisms of the adaptation that it could have delved deeper into it, just like similar to how you said with Banana Fish, like some of the stuff appears surface level, but there's more underneath and it's explored more in the manga.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, like with a lot of the things Tifa was saying there, all I could think was it's like a female version of Gravitation.
Oh.
Okay.
I haven't read Gravitation, but I've heard it's like a lot.
It's a lot. There's a lot of idolization, a lot of like bad stuff, and a lot of, and like the way Tifa was talking about it, I was like, oh, this sounds a lot like that.
Yeah, I think as well.
Also,
yeah, go on.
The fashion does carry over to the real world because somebody has a little.
Are you wearing those rings because you've been reading the manga?
Well, I already have these, but the lead character, Nana, has this I got recently, but she has this ring as well. And then this one is the iconic one, which I've had since last year. I got it secondhand in Japan. So,
yeah, I think I remember you shared that in the chat about that. Yeah, yeah. That, for those who are listening, she's actually talking about a ring which lets her snort coke off it. No,
yes, the Carrie Fisher ring.
The Carrie Fisher ring. anyway, if you look, Nana can be read, I'm pretty sure, on Viz Media digitally. If you want to get into it.
I would just add a trigger warning and just be like, hey, must be over 18 to read it, because I think. Automatically, as someone that's young, and then you see it like on TikTok or online somewhere, you're like, oh, this is pretty, this seems cool, but some of the subjects, I think it's really important to read, especially if you are female and in Japan specifically, but I think it should be over 18 because some of the subjects are a bit,
I'm pretty sure the the anime is actually, it's MA. So that'd be 15 plus Australia, 17 plus US. So that gives you a pretty good kind of balance of where they are, where it is. Cool. Well, I'm reading, I was originally going to talk about Ranma and a Half, but I talk about Ranma and a Half all the time. So Ranma and a Half season 2 is great. Keeps going well. I don't know if they've handled Haposi, the old guy who's a pervert, well, but we'll see in the next couple of episodes if he then gets, you know, sealed away and we don't have to see him again. That would be ideal. But I've been reading a manga series called They're Still Being Shaken This Morning. And this is about a boy and a girl who keep from different schools and keep boarding the same train every morning. And slowly over time, they get to know each other. But it's all from the perspective of the passengers. So you get to watch, there's three passengers who are obsessed with them. There's like an old man who's like a, he's not like retiree age, but he's like, you know, upper management in a company. There's a college student who's, you know, really good looking. And then a middle-aged lady who's also an office woman as well. And the three of them are all just, you get to see like all their text chats while they're talking about all these, you know, daily little events, living vicariously through these two, you know, teenage kids who are clearly interested in each other and trying to figure out the right way to break the ice. And it's really sweet. It's really beautifully drawn. And it's really good fun to read. But yeah, it's just, it focuses on the girl's really quiet and a bit socially awkward. And the guy doesn't want to feel like, he doesn't want to be rude, if that makes sense. And slowly over time, you know, there are opportunities for them to, you know, talk. And eventually, you know, they start sitting next to each other daily and talking. But they still haven't traded phone numbers. So they only see each other on the train. And then, you know, they've got friends involved as well. And the friends are like, you see this, there's one particular scene where, you know, they eventually talk to each other. And everyone on the train is like, flabbergasted, and the friends' heads pop out from around the corner because they've been watching too. And you know, you then find out that there's another guy who has been on the train every morning in the background who is also rooting for them and isn't aware that there's already a group who's, you know, sharing. It's great. There's only about 45 chapters so far, and I'm pretty sure it's monthly. And I ran out, and I'm really disappointed because I've run out. But yeah, it's really good. It's called They're Still Being Shaken This Morning, and I'm pretty sure you can read it on Viz, but it's the Viz translation only goes up to a certain amount, and it's much further ahead than that. So there are a lot of fan translations that are out there that you can have a look at. Obviously, like, you know, that's in the gray area, but like, there are some companies that are using AI to translate manga now, and the fan translation's better. So, yeah.
Humans do it better.
Support humans. That's where I'm at. But yeah, look, if you've been watching or reading something interesting, do let us know in the comments. We're always interested to find out about other shows and, you know, books and manga that we can read that we might not be aware of. There is so... This is the problem. There is so much of it now that like, for example, Ninja X Gokudo wasn't even on any of our lists. Mm. And I just kind of watched an episode randomly because it showed up. And I was like, I think Aaron will like this.
We take these recommendations on board. Yeah. We like learning new things.
Yeah. So look, let us know. You can drop it in the comments section on YouTube or on our social media or any of the other platforms we're on. But with that, let's get stuck into a little bit of Chainsaw Revan.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
We'll be there on time. There's 20 minutes of ads.
Cinema Club.
Alrighty, Chainsaw Man, the movie, Rezark. It's pretty good.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, that's it. if you're not aware of Chainsaw Man, you might not be your genre of choice, or you might not be a Crunchyroll subscriber because they push it real hard.
Oh, yeah. It's been on like the corner of the app. Like, they're like, buy tickets.
Yeah. They've been pushing it hard. So Chainsaw Man is a series, a manga series, which has been running for... how long now, T? For about
since 2019.
2019, there you go. It's the anime's produced by MAPPA, so obviously quite high production value, really pretty animation. It's realistically about a guy in a world where there is demons, and it's kind of a rubbish world, and him finding his way when he's got no education, was saddled with debt from his father. You know, he's literally... been stunted from birth, basically.
It's like a coming of age story, but it just happens to have all these crazy devils in it because you really just want Denji to do well.
You do. Like,
please.
So the main character, Denji's got issues. But when early on in the start of the story, he has, you know, no money, no home, no nothing. The only thing he has is Pachita, which is his demon dog companion. And through a twisted set of circumstances, him and Pachita end up combined together into one being, which lets him turn into Chainsaw Man, who is a fiend, not a devil. It's when a devil has been put inside a human's body, if you will. So they kind of straddle the line between two worlds.
He met Shotaka.
What? No! Tifa, help me here. I can't handle this.
Nobody can handle this.
even Tifa's like, nah, I'm out, man. But look, for all of the joking, yeah, Aaron is right. It is basically Shotaka. You know, put these two hands together sort of thing. But it's an interesting story because it's really hard to watch or read because... if you're an adult and you're already past, you know, going through the learning who you are and learning to grow up and become finding your place in the world, if you will, and admittedly, like, most of us are still doing that even as we are adults, but, you know, there feels a lot more pressure about that as you're a teenager, as you're approaching 18 and you have to be part of the world. Don't worry about it. You'll figure it out.
They're like, yeah, school's your running start and then you just got to dive into it. But, like, school's like a walking start and then the real world's just zooming past. You're like, oh, I got to jump into that.
That's such an interesting thing in, like, relation to Chainsaw Man, though, because Denji being the only child and everyone else being... an adult, like an actual adult in their 20s or 30s or older as well. And so he's a kid that has to grow up so much faster and has to work. He doesn't even go to school in the
pub.
How old
was Power?
Power's...
because
Power,
it's a corpse, technically, so...
yeah, I don't think we ever know how old Power is, but it's said to be between 17 and 22.
Yeah, so like the cusp where everyone else is in the story, who's already become part of the world.
Because Aki is like 21, 22 or something. And then Makima's like the same or a little older, I think. They're all in their 20s, I was pretty sure. Except Himeno, I think, was later, like 27 or something. And then some of the others.
I'm pretty sure she would have been 28 knowing Japan because they're like, 28, she's over the hill, clearly. It's like, no.
No. Yes.
So it's
hang
like...
on, apparently Game Rant has a list of ages. We won't believe them because they put not applicable with most of the people.
Great. Kobeni, I think, might be like 16.
Kobeni's 20.
Okay, never mind, I'm wrong.
Yeah, Hirokazu RI is 22, and then you've got Aki is 19 to 20. Mm. Everyone else other than Denji is listed as not applicable. And that's
They're
not right.
They're all adults.
Because They're all adults. Yeah. So in some, how old is Pachita? Well, we don't know, but he's 50 centimeters tall. It's like, okay.
I don't know. How old's the concept of chainsaws?
Steam combustion. So 200 years.
That's how old he is.
Yeah,
then.
200, 250 years. Either way, Denji's 16, 17, 16 in part one, 17 in part two. And part two, we haven't reached in the anime yet.
Spoilers.
It's a very, just be aware that we still have a long way through part one to go before part two starts.
Oh, yeah.
I think at least another two full seasons minimum. Three to adequately cover it. Or if the last season is a double season, 24 episodes, that could cover that final arc well. The story is ongoing. It's no longer in Shonen Jump because of the contents that are being discussed and looked at. And Tifa was the one who alerted me to this. I thought it was before sales. It's not that. It was moved out of Shonen Jump because the content's too mature to be in that target demographic of 15 to 18. So 15 to 17, actually. So, yeah. It's definitely more, it started out as shonen, it's definitely lent into the seinen audience more. So, yeah. Anyway, you finish the main, if we're not going to spoil what happens in the first season, because I still think going into that not knowing is amazing, and everything we've mentioned still is only contained to the first episode. So, the first season ends, whole heap of things come past, and, you know, Denji is kind of in a position now where he's like, well, I've made something of my life. I'm now able to, you know, not worry about where my next meal is coming from. Yeah,
he's got a roof over his head. He's got people close to him.
Yeah,
he's done one of the things on his bucket list.
And now he's kind of at a point where because he's been lonely, and the only things he really wanted was to be able to eat and to be intimate with a woman.
He sought companionship.
He sought companionship, and that's kind of what this arc is about. Because it turns out a lot of people want Chainsaw Man. They want control of it. They want to use it, or they want it gone. And that's kind of what the crux of this story is. So without going into too much, the story centers around a girl called Rez, who very openly seems to be into Denji. And
very quickly.
She is of an appropriate age, though, might I add.
Yes, yeah.
Both of them skipped high school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically, yes. But, so the story centers around him running into this girl and their growing relationship and the fallout of when other elements come into play, other demons who are hunting him. So it's about... Actually, no. I'm not gonna go too much into it.
It's the recurring theme. Denji can't have nice things.
I mean, yeah, there's that too. That's the best way to explain it. Thank you. Yes, because anything else I said would spoil it.
It's a love story. It is a love story.
Yes, yeah. And because of that, and what this show is as a whole, I think the only way to do this arc is a movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, this was in the manga, it's two volumes. So that does fit like a film length story. Otherwise, they would have had to do like two arcs in a season. I'm pretty sure the arc after this is quite a bit longer. So it's not really, there's not really room for it to do it that way.
They would have had to pad it out, and then it wouldn't have fit right. Plus the pacing of it all. Yeah. Like,
No, go on.
Go ahead, Tifa.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think that Fujimoto had originally envisioned this to be a movie, but wasn't sure whether they would allow it to be a movie. And then with the good reception of Look Back, he knew that he could make this the way he wanted
Kind of push for it a bit.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, I think they announced it before Look Back had come out, but because, you know, all of the success with Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen as films, and then Look Back did really well. So he's like, okay, because I think the date of this got pushed back once or twice, or they didn't have a date or something like that.
It did get announced around the time of Look Back, and that was after it had been at, I think, the Annecy Film Festival and had a standing ovation.
Yeah, so, like, I think he could push for more of what he wanted, because you can see that certain scenes are done in a very specific way, which makes them stand out so much more and makes them so much more special as well.
Yeah. Like, it's also worth noting, depending on where you are in the world, you might get a different version of this film as well. Southeast Asia have a censored version for the pool scene, so they actually cut most of that scene out, which is, I think it's pretty critical to the story.
Yeah, it's like one of the main scenes that really, it's the heart of what is here, basically.
Yeah, which is a bit frustrating. I don't know how much is cut. I just know we're looking at about 2 minutes difference to the runtime, which I think is enough cut to kind of take away the impact.
It shows that Denji's not just a 2D character. Mm. Like, he does have that emotional depth, and he is thinking about all these other things at the same time. So cutting that cuts a lot of who he is
out. It cuts the development.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something, like, we mentioned it, like, briefly when we were talking about the series as a whole, but Denji hasn't got any guiding principles or rails. He doesn't, like, all he knows is that he has hormones and that, you know, he knows that women are, as far as he's been taught, because he was grew up around Yakuzas who are, you know, pretty nasty types.
And adult magazines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All he knows is that that is meant to be the target of those emotions and hormones. But because of that, he's not aware. He's not self-aware. He's very cringy.
But that's what's special here, because, like, you can see him learning and he's like, oh, okay, so that's a new feeling. But how does that feel when I thought that I felt this way instead about this person and this thing?
Mm.
And I think they do a really good job of that development. Mm.
They really do. And despite them having to cut some elements from the manga for this, which is mostly, to be honest, they didn't cut much. It was mostly background stuff that can be discussed and dealt with later, like, you know, the mechanisms of the demon, not the demon hunters, the, you know what I mean, the devil hunter organizations, the public bureau. That stuff was shifted to the side, very much like what they did with Kaguya Summer Love is War, Love is the Last Dance, or whatever it was, the film. They removed all the other character stories out of the actual story when they were making the film, because it doesn't fit into the narrative of the story. It can be done separately. Same sort of thing here. Like, what everyone else is doing doesn't matter. What is important is what Denji and Rez are doing. Yeah. And that other stuff can just be done as literally, like, the first scene of the new season of, wow, we were talking to this devil about, you know, this incoming threat and blah, blah, blah. Here we, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you just skip, you know, have it as a flashback or a skip forward scene.
Yeah.
The pacing of the film was fantastic.
Mm.
The colors were beautifully used. We say a lot about, you know, oh, it's really bright, it's really shiny, it's really good. You know, of course, it's animated, it's going to have good colors, but they chose a color palette that feels nostalgic.
Yeah.
It's probably the easiest way to explain it. And it works so well for this film. Like, yeah, it's.
It seems really like well they done. Had fun making it.
Yes.
Like, a lot of the action scenes as well, like, it pulls you in, like, you're there going, whoa.
You get a first-person view from Denji's eyes in one fight for a little bit as well. It's like, I was not expecting this. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. There were, a lot. There was surprisingly more fight scenes than I thought there'd be.
Mm.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
But, like, once it starts happening, it's just a bowl that keeps rolling.
It's a cascade, yeah.
Like, that's why I think this works better as a movie, because it had that build up to it all. Like, if I was watching this show and that was just episode after episode of Chainsaw Man, I'd be like,
where's Chainsaw?
Yeah. man, where's Chainsaw?
It's been 45 minutes and there have been no chainsaws. What's going on? But yeah, I think it's really well done, and it really does kind of lean a bit more into, like, the approach they did for Look Back, where they took their time with it. They established the characters, they established the story. And, like, you know, this could have gone so many different ways. Like, if you haven't read the manga, you won't know where this is going to head just from watching, like, the first half of the film, because you're like, this could go in so many different directions and have so many different implications for the wider story. But of course, they went for the most soul-crushing option, because this is Chainsaw Man, and it is about Denji not having nice things.
It's to your eternity, but more action.
Yeah. But I completely derailed myself on that. Fight scenes were really well animated. They were really fast, in some cases almost too fast to follow on, but it feels like they were used the speed was used briefly to jump you to a moment of importance in the fight,
yeah,
as opposed to it being rushed through. It was like, we know that we have to set up how these two people fighting get up on top of this building. So here is the quick, speedy version of it, so you can now embrace the insanity of this fight. Yeah. Also, like, weather effects were really well done in this too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
bordering on, like, Makoto Shinkai style of, like, rain and stuff.
Well, given the characters that they brought in for this, you'd want that effort put in.
Yeah. And Sharkboy.
Sharkboy. And Lava Girl.
Oh, my God.
No. In the 3D realm. No. Awful film. No more Spy Kids films.
Aww, but it's got Jacob Lautner. Not Jacob Lautner.
Taylor Lautner, who plays Jacob in Twilight. Jacob Lautner.
Taylor is bringing her whole fandom with her to the house of the Cullens. Watch out. But yeah, look, it was really well done. All the characters who they do include in the story are really well introduced. Even like the minor characters from some of the different branches of like the I keep wanting to say it's the Demon Slayer course, but it's not.
Devil
it's the
hunters.
Devil, what do they call it? Like the devil blocking, I can't remember the word.
Demon Hunters. K-pop Demon Hunters.
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, it seems the kids really like this K-pop and that Demon Hunters show. What if we put our hands together? Dear God. but yeah, so it's got quite a lot of interesting side characters in this. Beam, who is the shark boy, and he plays quite a large role in it.
He is so fun.
He is so good.
Like, he's just down for whatever. Yeah. Denji's like, we're gonna do this. He's like, yes, yes. I've waited my entire life for this moment.
Public safety office.
Yeah,
got
that's
there in
it.
The end.
I was gonna say you want Beam as your hype man all the time.
You do. Yeah. You really do. But yeah, it's kind of a nice little story that's set in like it's an urban story in urban Japan. Like we see them so often. I have a soft spot for animes that explore Japan's locations as opposed to going, oh, we're going to isekai the character away or whatever. Like it's why I enjoy literally all of Jujutsu Kaisen, because it is in Tokyo. I'm like, I know that location. I've been there. Or yeah. Like
it's, Shibuya?
The Shibuya 109.
Yeah. Like, I've had the opposite experience as well, where I played a lot of Assassin's Creed as a kid. And then when I went to Venice, I'm like, that's the viewpoint.
Hang on, I know where I am. Off there real quick.
No, it was, I know where I am. So yeah, but like, this does a really good job of kind of using what would be considered like the hidden gems of, you know, Japanese urbanization. So like the small hidden cafes, the locations like the phone booth that, you know, might not get used or is not in every area, the local schools that are actually well embedded into the neighborhood as opposed to appearing like a monolith in most school shows. They're like, yes, the school is the center of the community. No, it's just a school. It's yeah.
Well, it's surprising that you mentioned that, because when this came out in Japan, there were a lot of people who actually went to those locations and like left a flower in the phone booth.
Oh.
And then they went to the coffee shop as well. Like, they made this whole trek out of it. They went up the stairs. They followed her whole route.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, like, I love this. Like, it's just a shame that tourism's so high in Japan at the moment that you can't really go and enjoy these places without other people ruining it for you.
I was going to say, like, sometimes weebs are all right.
Sometimes weebs are great. Most of the time. But we're weebs. We're great. What are you talking about? Look, I like to think we're pretty, like, you know, reasonable
decent.
Tourists. We're decent. Well, you know, we're respectful. We consider what's going on. We don't get in the way. We don't stand in the middle of traffic to get a selfie. The people who do it know what I'm talking about.
We at least try to use the language. We say konnichiwa sup and sumima sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to teach you some real Japanese before you go.
I ain't going without you.
Fair enough. I ain't going without Emma. She's so much better at Japanese than me.
But like you were saying, like even the small characters, like there was one guy who's there specifically to hunt Denji. And you feel like you get to know him enough, though there's like
three
not
scenes.
Much to him.
There's three scenes with him in it and it feels so important.
Mm. Yeah. And like just the way they balance him out and put him in there, you're like, wow, this guy, yeah. I can see this being a real person in this actual place.
Mm-hmm. He's messed up.
He's so messed
so
up.
So messed up.
But you'd have people like that in that world.
Yes.
And you'd, yeah. Yeah, you would. Yeah. So at the moment, the film has made, as of November 2nd, $158 million worldwide. I think the total cost to produce it is somewhere around the $12 million mark.
It's $4 million.
This, $4 million, there you go. This is what happens when you don't pay your animators.
They put the wrong numbers out?
No. You make massive profits. But hopefully that means that can lead to, you know, the team members in future getting paid more. Mm. Because, yeah.
Hell yeah.
This is like a well-known issue within the industry. So.
Yeah, they did change the animation style of this as well to flat colors, because flat colors means that they can animate easier and they can animate faster as well. So they made a conscious decision in comparison to the first season, because there are a lot of gradients used. There are a lot of really 3D sort of coloring, and they went more flat so they could
also
do
with
lot
the
more.
Shadow and shine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because we were talking about this earlier, me and Aaron, is that it has a very, like, not just a nostalgic feel, but it feels like a little bit old school in a way as well, like kind of heralding back to the older anime formats. And like, it's, they've used rougher pen work, and it must be on purpose to make it feel more like the manga. But
it
it would make sense if they did that, because that was the style for the older animations. Aside from the insanely complicated backgrounds, characters would be very flat. Scenery in front would be very flat as far as colors and gradients go. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But yeah.
Man, I miss those old Naruto days.
Have you been rewatching Naruto? You've brought it up like three times in the past hour.
I like Naruto, okay?
I could have never guessed.
There's not more.
Look, there is, but it features moon people, and we all know how Tifa feels about moon people. So honestly, I think it's that we all know how we all feel about moon people.
Yeah,
now,
I was gonna say, are you sure it's just Tifa?
No, I think we're just kind of done with the trope. It's like, yes, we like, don't get me wrong, like the story of, you know, Kaguya, the what do you call it?
Rabbit.
The rabbit and the moon, and then there's Princess Kaguya and like the leaf cut bamboo cutter.
Yeah.
Like it does play a role in a lot of anime. However, Naruto kind of quadrupled down on it too hard, and it kind of ruined it.
I feel like Naruto started like the first arc was like, yeah, these are definitely ninjas, and then it just got so out of control that he was like, let's go
to the moon. What could go wrong?
But the only acceptable moon person is
Hinata,
Arc Gurren Lagann.
I mean, that is well out of left field, but okay. Like, sure.
Technically, it's a moon person.
Technically, I guess. Technically, it was a planet once too.
Yeah.
So you know.
Only acceptable moon person, fight me.
But yeah, look, if you want to go see it, it might still be in cinemas in some areas. It hasn't done a full release international yet. I know we are running out of time for it to be in cinemas here in Australia. It did get longer of a run than I realized. The reason it... So I was saying to Tifa that I couldn't find it on the second week of its run. And the reason is that it would... The top search result when you were searching for it was for the English dubbed version, not the Japanese one.
Okay.
They ran out the English dub one real quick, and then the only ones that were still in cinemas was the Japanese dub with the subtitles. That ran for 3 weeks. The English dub ran for a week and a half.
That's weird. I wonder why.
It's a very weird decision here in Australia. I don't know if any of our listeners are in the US. Maybe you can let us know what the run was like there, how they split it. Because, it was a very odd thing here. Normally we see it the other way around, where the English version is more popular because, you don't have to read it. But I don't know. It might be that we have a large enough Japanese community here now, or those enough people that speak and understand it or prefer subtitles that would prefer it.
Or maybe they're just trialing it, see how it goes.
Maybe.
Nah. Because like they've got enough films. They literally just did Demon Slayer, and they had that in both for the entire run.
And it had Channing Tatum in it.
The Tating of Chan. I'm going to keep saying that. It's dumb, but I'm going to keep saying it. Because I am dumb.
Same.
But yeah, look, if you want to watch it, go check it out in the cinemas. It should be on Crunchyroll in the next 6 months. So there is going to be a bit of a lag before it goes to digital. And obviously, we suspect it will go to physical media first in Japan, and then international release to streaming after that. So we'll see how it goes. But look, it's definitely worth watching. It is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which is saying a lot. There was one guy on it who gave it like
he didn't like it. He changed his review though. He changed it.
Yeah, he got bullied enough. There are two Rottens now.
Rude. That's so rude. Yeah. This is a perfect.
Charles Solomon from Film Week LAIST. We've talked about Charles Solomon reviews before. Charles Solomon rates every anime film as rotten.
Rude.
Every time we brought him
up. Racist.
Hey, Charles.
Sorry.
Yeah. Come on. Like, man, almost all of his reviews are rotten, and the only ones he rates well are either niche films or generic.
I was going to say, are they all Disney? Is all his positive stints do?
He voted positive on Elio for the lizard meme.
This guy provides one sentence reviews. He should not be listed as a critic for the purposes of Rotten Tomato.
I don't know. One sentence reviews sounds kind of like
that's very letterboxed.
He's given Kaiju Number 8 Mission Recon, which is like the recap. He gave it positive. It was fresh. But then everything else, he's.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know what, Charles?
Doesn't like Dogman. And this is the animated one, all of the animated ones. He rated the Oscar nominated shorts as rotten, all of them. So this guy should not be a critic.
Interesting.
Dude, if you, Charles Solomon, I'm calling you out. You have rubbish taste.
What's happening, bro?
I think it's time you learnt the age-old rule that sometimes people are wrong on the internet.
Oh, man. Like, but this is the thing. He is wrong and in a position where he's meant to know what he's talking about, and he doesn't. So, do you want to know what his review for Chainsaw Man was? It goes on and on and on and on without ever really going anywhere. Did you even watch it, man?
He probably left like halfway through.
Yeah.
Doesn't like romance.
That's so
Film great. Week. Yeah, he's audience funded non-profit news. Man, nah.
You want to come on the show?
Let's fight.
He ain't a top critic. Michael McCahill from The Guardian is the other negative review. And it's because it's gleefully perversity is semi-interesting. What the success of these titles tells us, there is an audience whose desires aren't currently being met by Hollywood pencil pushers. Man, is it male-oriented, though. Bruh. It is. It's shonen. Did you not read anything about what Japanese anime...
No,
so,
of course not.
Don't listen to the critics because they're idiots.
Well, most of the critics were positive. Don't listen critics. To those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just don't listen to the critics. Make up your own mind. Listen to us. We're not critics. We're just critical.
We're
a bunch of idiots on the internet.
When I went to go see this, right, and I saw it in IMAX, which, firstly, if you have an IMAX cinema and you can't see it on a screen that big, amazing. But secondly, there was a cyclone coming this way, so which is ironic because of the film. So when we came out, there were weather warnings, and it was like, oh, you should not be outside right now, and there was just rain and hail and wind, it was so crazy. I was like, okay, when did the movie come to life? Like, what is this?
I was gonna say, you got the 4D experience?
Yeah, literally.
Actually, they've just confirmed Inaloo's getting an IMAX.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, this month. Nice. That'd
and it's
good.
Also getting another one which has got like the three screens, which I think might be for doing stage shows from international.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so yeah.
Alexander Hamilton.
not those type of stage shows.
Like, you know, the 2.5D, like, Japanese ones would be sick.
Oh, like the billboards?
Yeah, where they've got, like, you know, three different areas where they, three different stages that they operate on. It's kind of like that, is my understanding. But anyway, look, Chainsaw Man is actually really well done. Yes, it is a bit perverse, but if you haven't seen the series, of course you're not going to understand why that is an element of the story. So make sure you watch the series beforehand. If you don't like the series, you won't like the film. Simple as that.
Plain and simple.
So, but it is phenomenally well animated, and just it really just stands out compared to everything else. And I was chatting to one of our Patreons about this on our Discord with them, and they were like, "Oh, I'm not sure if it's." I was like, "I'm not sure if it's going to go well," and he's like, "No, I think it's going to go gangbusters," and he was right. Like, I'd forgot how good it was because it's been 2 years since I watched Chainsaw Man. Yeah. And reading the manga's not anywhere near the same.
Much in the chat, but I did for that conversation.
Yeah, but he was just trolling. You were just being a goober.
What would anyone expect from me?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway, look, go watch it. We can highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. It's up there. If you enjoyed Demon Slayer, you're going to enjoy it as well. I think it's a very similar level of action and speed and pacing.
I would say this is much better.
Less flashbacks.
Yes. Yes.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
That's quite a way to work it in.
Alrighty, well, it is time for anime news time, and guess what? Sony and Crunchyroll are not our leading story this time.
What?
I know, they've actually been quiet. It's because they've been too busy.
No. When there's a child and they're quiet, that means something bad's going on. We need to check on them.
So something, next episode, big Crunchyroll news, you heard it here. Anyway, there has been, and this is what I alluded to earlier about good anime news, the financial research firm Teikoku Data Bank has published a report on November 5th noting that 8 anime production companies we'll come back to that one. This one's more important. 18 anime and manga companies publish a joint statement criticizing the use of generative AI, especially with Sora 2 program. 18 Japanese companies, including Studio Ghibli and including I don't think A1 is on this list, which is weird. Akita Shoten, Ichijinshi, Ozahara Publishing Co., Kadokawa. Mm. Okay, so that's a big name already. Lead Publishing, TO Books, Nihon Bungenshi. A lot of these Square Enix is on the list as well, which is interesting seeing as they're already using AI. I was hoping Sony would be here as well, but they're not. And Nihon Mangaka Kyokai, which is Japan Cartoon Association.
How interesting.
They have all... Yeah. So basically, they're all part of CODA, which is a Content Overseas Distribution Association. And they've determined that Sora 2 is producing content using their works and images that were created by the company. And according to the statement, they're using copyrighted works for machine learning, resulting in output resembling the company's content. We've been discussing this for a while. Have a look at all the awful Ghibli filters everyone keeps using. So they've requested Sora 2 to remove... basically all of its members' content from machine learning because they have not been given permission, and that OpenAI responds to their claims regarding the copyright infringement. Because for those unaware, when they announced Sora 2, they said, oh, you have to tell us not to use your stuff. It's not opt-in, it's opt-out. And it's like, no, that's not how copyright works. So, yeah. So the transparency for the machine training data needs to be done. They've been asked for, it needs to be an opt-in system, which has already been a legal precedent that it should be an opt-in system. They've asked that it needs to be done. And the statement reassures the companies that are in support advancing AI technology. However, they will not tolerate copyright infringements and they will take legal action as necessary. I hope Sora 2 doesn't do anything and they all sue it into oblivion.
See, this just means we're not getting Kingdom Hearts 4 because Square Enix is now against Sora.
You've been holding that in for a while, haven't you? The CODA's members companies also include Aniplex, NTT, Docomo, Studio and Live, Kadokawa, Shokaku Shoshei Productions, Studio Ghibli, Square Enix, TBS, Tokyo Broadcast Systems Television, TV Asahi, TV Tokyo, Toei, Toho, TMS, Nippon Television Network, Bandai Namco, Fuji TV, Universal Music as well. So, like, it's a big deal. And, you know, this is exactly what needs to be happening. Humans individually cannot put pressure on AI companies to do the right thing. Other companies have to do it, unfortunately. We don't have the power to make them realize that they're destroying literally everything that makes the creative industries work. Others need to step up who are in that space, who can provide them physical data and say, this is why what you're doing is wrong. So, yeah. Also, I hate AI, if that wasn't obvious. Like, it's It's making the world dumber, and we've already got research to prove it. Anyway, moving on a similar, not so grand note, is the Teikoku Data Bank has announced that 8 anime production companies have closed between January and September this year. 2 of them closed for bankruptcy, and 6 closed either suspended operations or, you know, decided they needed to disclose something or another. A lot of these are minor studios, and none of them I particularly think are going to make people panic, because for context, the total number of closures is expected to get to the total number of company closures is expected to mark an increase for 3 consecutive years. It's noted as being on the same level as the record high 16 closures of 2018, that, you know, also had 8 closures between Japanese and September. Last year was a similar level as well. There were obviously there were studies showing that suddenly increase of closures due to COVID-19, because they couldn't obviously get people into the office to do things, and obviously supply capacity cannot keep up with that. And then in order to compensate, overseas production companies were outsourced as well, which meant that local companies didn't have enough work to continue. So there's a lot involved in this, but despite the continuous expansion of the anime production industry, the increasing demand is not really seeing much of a difference in the amount of profitability. So all the companies are falling into the busy but unprofitable kind of bat area, because there's not enough money being spent on the products, which is, you know, really sad. So they can't pass on the rising cost of production to the price of the product, because they don't want to pay it. Yeah, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So we are probably going to see that there are going to be several more studio closures between now and the end of the year. And they also cite that additionally, there's been several anime series scheduled to air this year that have been postponed or, you know, completely cancelled altogether. The ones that they've included include Witch Hat Atelier, Warrior Princess and the Barbaric King, and Go For It Nakamura. All of those were delayed in the 2026 because of literally not enough staff and not enough support studios available.
Don't tell Kenny.
No, well, he already knows. That's January. That's fine. we were aware of this already, but according to the research, 60% of prime contractors have noted a deterioration in their performance in the 2024 fiscal year. So we are seeing the animation industry coming to, I guess you could say, a head to how much they are willing to charge for their work, and how much they can afford to charge, because they need to pay people a living wage. They need to make sure the company is profitable so it can continue. And they then also need to ensure that people will still come to them for business. So if something doesn't change in the next, I'd say 5 years, we're going to see something. There'll have to be some major upheaval in the industry to make changes. Because, yeah, like we were discussing this earlier, MAPPA doesn't pay its staff enough. They are overworked. And that's kind of the standard in most of the industry. But if that's the only way they can stay profitable, that says more about the pricing that they are asking for it. And that comes down to what the broadcast partners and the streaming partners are willing to pay. So there's a lot to take into this, and a lot of them really do earn most of their money after the anime has released and goes to digital, to physical media in Japan at least. So, if there's stuff you can do to support your favorite studios, we suggest doing it, whether that's buying merch or buying physical media for the shows that you like.
Buy their Funko Pops.
Don't do that.
But that's... Funko Pops are going out of business as well.
Yeah. The studios that we do have details on are none of the major ones that we talk about regularly. These are all pretty much support studios and contractors. So there's Ikachi Ippoka. They did... I'm actually not sure what that first one is, but they did the ASMR one, the Aru Asa Dummy Head Mic one, which was not popular, and Crossing Time and Demon Lord Retry. The last two did get some traction, but obviously weren't massively popular, and Crossing Time was basically a short anime series about girls who keep meeting at the crossing of the train tracks and what happens on the day during that. I think we mentioned that a few seasons ago, actually.
Does that go hand in hand with your train one? The one with the two kids on the train?
No.
They're not like parallels.
No.
This is what's happening outside the train.
This is what's happening inside.
So that studio declared bankruptcy on July 5th. And then there's Five Inc., who did they specialize in 3D CGI work for Heavenly Delusion, which was fantastic. Sakura Kakume, I don't know what that is, and Unite Up, which I think was a... idol one, so it kind of makes sense if there's not a lot of work in that area. And then Cloud Hearts, who did the animation production on Tawa on Monday 2, Rail Romanesque 2, which was not popular, The Great Cleric, and The Iceblade Sorcerer Shall Rule the World, The New Gate, Whisper Me a Love Song, episodes 1 to 10. So they've, as you can tell, like, there's a lot, and they've also declared bankruptcy as well. So, like, there's a lot going on, and, yeah, how it's going to come out in the wash is going to be... Yeah, interesting. Like, the estimate is that the revenue in anime production has grown by 9% to its highest level this year. However, companies are still closing, so there's a gap. So we've got to find out. Anyway, moving on to something more useful. Russia has banned my anime list for some reason.
Okay.
we don't really... Look, we know why, but we don't really get it. It's apparently a ban was related to having LGBTQ+ content, which is unlawful in Russia. Doesn't matter that it is just a listing of it. It's because it currently shows systematic placement of materials containing information that could be propagating non-traditional sexual relations and preferences. So apparently, just saying the word gay is enough to get you banned in Russia. Sorry to our Russian audience.
Bye, Russia.
So, yeah, the Supreme Court in Russia declared the movement to be extremist, the LGBTQ movement, in 2023, and it's just all Putin being stupid. Let's move on to, you know, actually interesting stuff, and the live action One Piece series has finally announced the casting of Ace, Luffy's brother. Portica's de Ace is going to be played by Zolo Maraduna, and I didn't think Ace fans can get any thirstier, but they are now.
They are going nuts.
He's a good looking dude. Like, yeah, he fits the role perfectly.
He's hot.
Yes. Yes, he is. You might even say on fire.
On fuego.
Yeah. So he's going to appear in the third season. Second season will be airing on March 10th next year. Third season, maybe shortly afterwards. We haven't got confirmation of release, but they did film them back to back, I believe. So
I wonder if they did announce Ace now, because there is like a little cameo scene that I think will happen in the second. Like, he appears...
Maybe he's got a cameo at the end.
Yeah, he appears on the ship for, like, 2 seconds, or there's, like, a Luffy flashback or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he meet with Luffy at the bar and give him the piece of paper?
It's a bit later.
I thought that was in this coming up.
That will be in season 3, I think.
From memory, there's a scene where it's, like, off the island where they are, because this should be the thingy arc, desert... palace thing. It's been a while since I've read it. Second season will cover the story up to the Drum Island arc. So that's Log Town, Reverse Mountain, Twin Cape, Whiskey Peak, Little Garden, Drum Island. Oh, okay. So we're not even getting to Princess
Vivi.
Yeah.
We see her in the trailer. We'll see her briefly. And what I think is, like, on the ship when they leave will be, like, one of the final episodes, and we'll get that Ace scene. So that's why they've announced him now.
I reckon you're right. I reckon you are 100% on the money. They have announced, obviously, plenty of new casts. So Miss Wednesday, Mr. O0359, Chess, Dalton, KM, Ippon Matsu, like lots of Dorian Brogy have been announced. A lot of the cast has been announced who will appear this season, but I think now the announcements we're going to be getting are going to be a bit more focused on the ones that will appear towards the end of the show before season 3 starts, because they have to. So there you go. And back to Chainsaw Man, it stayed at number 1 in Japan on the cinema. So it do good. There is... here we go. Come on. The Demon Slayer movie dropped from 3rd to 5th in its 16th week. 16 weeks.
Wow.
That's insane. So it has earned almost 250 US million in just Japan. That's...
We're good.
Yeah. I'm sure the film is going... It's currently the highest earning film in Japan for... Oh, hang on. for total take in Japan. So Mugen Train is the currently the highest one, and that earned $277 million after conversion. But obviously, once this run finishes, I reckon this will be higher than it quite potentially. But there's not much else going on in Japan cinemas as far as films go. There's been a Gundam standalone film for Iron Blood Orphans, a spin-off that's been released. There's been a Zombieland saga film, Dream Galactic Paradise, that fell out of the top 10 in its second week, so that's not really good. 4K restoration of Princess Mononoke is still in the top 10. It dropped from 4th to 8th. Exactly.
It's just Tifa going back-to-back screenings.
There is the live-action Makoto Shinkai's 5 centimeters per second. That's dropped from 2nd to 6th in its 4th week. So, like, you know, it's the ones that are up there are staying up there for very good reasons. And there's also the Sky Kingdom and the Two Children, which is, I think it's to do with Sanrio. It's a Sanrio franchise, Sumiko Garashi franchise by Sanex. So that's opened on Friday and ranked at number 4, and that's done numbers. It's definitely targeted at children, and with school holidays coming up, kind of makes sense. Moving on, Aniplex USA has started revealing the clips for the first part of the Virgin Punk original anime series. The first episode, Clockwork Girl, is streaming in the US cinemas on the 11th and 13th of November, i.e. yesterday and tomorrow for our listeners, if you're listening as we release this. Yeah, this is done by Studio Shaft. It is a full kind of cyberpunk-y collection of short stories, if you will, and their animation on this is utterly bonkers. So yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff coming out for this, and I can't wait for this to get a Australian release because it looks good. It looks so good. Moving on, Godzilla Minus One is getting a follow-up film.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting an actual sequel, and it's called Godzilla Minus 0.0.
Oh, I went the wrong way. I was going to be Godzilla Minus 2.
Yeah. So, yeah, the official title is apparently pronounced Godzilla Minus 0.
Okay.
So, yeah, we don't have a release date at this state, but it was announced at Godzilla Fest 2025. Toho Studios and Robot are producing again. Pretty much all the same team, so fingers crossed, should be good.
Can we go to a Godzilla Fest? That sounds fun.
It does sound fun, actually, yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. All right. Now, we do have a few updates for new anime and anime films that are coming out. So Netflix have announced Cosmic Princess Kaguya anime film is on its way. This features music from Vocaloid producers and streams on January 22nd. I think this is meant to be very much in line with kind of like Vocaloid, Miku, and all that, you know, digital characters who have taken to the stage sort of thing. It's basically a virtual realm Tsukuyomi, a modernized take on the Tale of the Bamboo Cutter. So, as we were talking about earlier. There's also Popel of Chimney Town has got a sequel film, and it's literally debuting next month, in March next year. So that's also pretty cool. The first one came out, 2021, maybe? It's Studio 4 Degrees C. 2019 it came out. So, yeah. Oh, no. That was when the book came out. 2023, I guess, is when the film came out. It's hard to say. They don't actually... Put it in date order, people. 2021 is when it went to film festivals. So let's say 2022 it came out. There you go. So the sequel is going to be called The Promised Clock Tower. And, it's based on a picture book as well. Definitely targeted at the kids. Definitely that fantastical craziness. So it'll be good. The Dangers in My Heart is getting a movie, which appears to just be like... Well, actually, no, it's already out. It's a compilation film of the first couple of seasons. But all of the artwork is of his sister in what looks like borderline a wedding dress. So it's really weird because it kind of, the announcement was made at the same time as it was the character's birthday. So everyone's like, wow, it's a wedding story about his sister. What's going on? I'm like, what? We've only got 5 chapters of her spin-off manga already, and we've already got like, no, that's not right. So yeah, it's just a recap. If you've seen the original season, you don't really need to go. It doesn't look like it has that much additional footage. Apparently there are 3 or 4 extra scenes, and there's also the depiction of Kyotaro and Anna after the series finale. So, like, something extra that happened after that chapter. So, there you go. in strange animes to name, Roll Over and Die is arriving in January 2026. yeah. I Will Fight for an Ordinary Life with My Love and My Cursed Sword. It's a light novel series, because of course it is. And the main protagonist basically is, yeah, a nun of the Origin Church, by the sounds of it, or something along those lines. No, that's not who it is. Look, it's basically a series where Flume Apricot was never meant to be a hero, despite stats that were zeros across the board and a power she can't use. She somehow finds herself in a member of Party of Heroes, but Flume's life hits rock bottom when the party's renowned sage, John Intige, decides that the useless girl is dead weight and arranges to have her sold into slavery. I believe we talked about this one about 6 months ago when it was announced it was getting an adaptation. It is dark. This is not a all-ages series by the sound of it. She's tossed to the monsters to be feasted upon for her master's entertainment, reaches for a cursed weapon, and then it's a grim, dark tale about a woman's blood-soaked quest for revenge. So, and to reclaim her life as well. But revenge is cool. So, yeah, as you can tell, this is definitely not one for the whole family. Garden of Gods TV anime has also been revealed for April next year. This is kind of very in line art style-wise with, like, a lot of the isekai series, but kind of is, like... I'll show you the picture because it looks straight up like a certain MAPPA animation that is currently airing
and doing well.
Well,
so yeah, like there's definitely been a specific choice here of how to do it. It's deep in the countryside. Minako Kusunoki is left in charge of a terrifying house overflowing with evil spirits, or at least it was full until his extraordinary ability cleared them out. And instead, a procession of unique and peculiar gods is now drawn to the comfort and purified Kusunoki residence. So Minato spends his day relaxing in the company of his spiritual neighbors. What else lies in store for Minato as he lives peacefully surrounded by gods? Probably feeding them. That's my bet. Yeah. Anyway, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 3, Part 1 of the Culling Games is debuting on January 8th. Oshinoko Season 3 debuts January 14th with a, I think the dub is already lined up to go at the same time as well. Spice and Wolf Season 2 has confirmed it is in production as well. Everyone kind of worried it wouldn't be after nothing was said at the end of Season 1 after it was a reboot and everyone was excited it came back. Tis Time for Torture Princess is also returning in January. And over in the world of manga, the Jank Rank Family manga is ending with its 20th volume. This looks kind of like in its final three chapters, in its final arc, Ninjen versus Kurome Gundanhen, human versus the Kurome Army Co-ops. It's a crossover with Oren's manga, and it features Yansei Kazu artist and Takahashi. Doesn't say what he's up. I guess it's just Takahashi. Launched it a few years ago. It's kind of like it's set in the aftermath of a great disaster and depicts the struggle for survival of men. And it's kind of dark and sort of Yakuza-esque. So post-apocalyptic Yakuza simulator, if you will.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm down for that. Like, I was like, I thought I'd mention it because I think I'm going to have to read it. It sounds really cool. And Terraformers, the one about like
bugs,
giant cockroaches on Mars that, you know, we sent the cockroaches to Mars to help make the atmosphere more plentiful and easy to get, and now that we've gotten there, they're humanoid and more powerful than us, and now they're invading Earth. That manga went on hiatus in April. It was meant to resume this summer. Apparently the mangaka is still planning to resume it this year, but they are running out of time. So yeah, it only recently returned from a 4-year hiatus in April. So it came back, did two chapters, went back on hiatus. So yeah, we've seen this a lot. It's disappointing when it happens, but now you know they are hoping to bring it back this year. So there you go. And that's kind of it for the news. Like, it was a bit of a mixed bag, and we kind of really,
it was a big bag.
It was a big bag of news.
It was a big bag.
I mean,
there was many more I could have put in there.
Yeah, the Jujutsu Kaisen movie is out now in Japan. So
yeah, and that's the recap film?
It's not a recap from what I've heard. So instead of, you know, when D Demon Slayer season 3 or season 4 was coming out or whatever, they did like two episodes of the last one and then two episodes of the new one compilation.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a compilation film. And so it's like a special recap, but it's not like the episodes itself. And then it jumps straight into everything else. There is no opening song. There is no ending song. And it just goes. Everyone's just like, okay, we're just going for it then. All right.
Dun 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 did the same thing and I saw it here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the news. We'll be right back.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
Alrighty, well, that's where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, watching, and joining us as we talk a whole load of smack generally about Sony. No.
And people leaving rotten reviews.
And rotten reviews, yeah. Like, how dare you, man, Charles? Whose name I forgot.
Pretty Charles. Sure it was Charles.
Where is he? Charles.
Yeah.
How dare you, Charles? You're on notice. That's the second time you've, you know, not watched the actual film and claimed you have. So, next time, we are continuing down the Chainsaw Man rabbit hole in a way. We are going to be doing a new series.
Fire Fist.
Have you read Fire Fist?
No.
It is weird. It is really weird. So, we're not doing Fire Fist, but if you would like to read it between now and then and have it for your what we're watching talking about, then go for it. There's a new short series that has just landed on Amazon Prime called 17-26, which is about all of Fujimoto?
Yeah, Fujimoto.
Fujimoto's works, the drawings that he did from 17 to 26 years of age. They're all short stories. One of them is incredibly violent and action-based. It's the reason I discovered it is that someone shared a clip from it, and the scene is a girl who is at a table with clearly a crime boss, and the crime boss goes, opens a suitcase, it's got all this money in it, and he's like, if you can kill me, I will give you $1 million. Instantly headshots the guy. You know, and then the guy gets back up and the shot is him lifting his head back up and a shotgun entering the frame at the exact same pace, and that was where it cut. I'm like, I need to watch this sounds hilarious. What is going to happen? I need to know. So yeah, undead unluck, but without, you know, anyone else being undead. So yeah, that's what we're going to do next time, because this sounds like a wild ride, and as we get towards the end of the year, wild rides are what we're here for. So if you have enjoyed what you've heard and, you know, want to follow along, you can hit the subscribe button. This week's subscribe button has a chainsaw behind it. It might also have a bomb behind it. That is entirely up to you.
Oh, no.
One way to find out.
Only one way. Press the button. If you'd like to join us for future episodes, make sure you're subscribed and follow along. We also have the YouTube edition. If you're watching there, fantastic. We're also in all podcasting apps, which is good fun. We are going to be at HoshiCon on the 28th and 29th of November. I think that's
29th
and 30th. It's the weekend. So not this weekend, not next weekend, the weekend after. So I have to actually not be dead by then. That's good.
Well, to your benefit, the con starts at noon.
I know. It's great.
So you've got the whole morning to rest.
But it ends later in the evening as well, because they're going to have DJs who do their usual Hoshi events, nightclub events all around Australia. It's going to be great fun. We're big fans of the Hoshi team. We love what they do. So, you know, we're really looking forward to it. We'll be on stage on both days presenting the big anime quiz. We have prizes galore from our friends over at Shumi Shop. 3 winners per round, so make sure you're there. Even if you're not first, you can still get a glorious prize from the bag.
The bag of prizes.
Should we dress as Santa? That makes so much sense.
Oh my god, the shirts are red.
Santa.
Yeah.
Shirts are red. It's almost Christmas at that point in time. We're giving gifts.
I'm a big fat bearded guy.
Me too. It's not white, but
I'll fix that.
Look, you don't have hair, and mine is starting to go white. So if we split it between us, we might be able to do it. Who knows?
We got this.
Anyway, come join us. It'll be a great weekend. There's plenty of stuff always to do at HoshiCon. Not just spend money. There's always lots of actual things to do just by interacting or, you know, know, going and watching things, because there's nothing worse than going to a convention and the whole point is just to spend money. Like, you want it to be an experience, not just a wallet emptying exercise. And that's what Hoshi has always done. They've always made sure there is plenty to do.
Oh, yeah. They usually have, like, three stages running at the same time.
Yeah.
You've got, like, tutorials from, like, cosplayers and artists, and they're up on stage with, like, whole projection thing up. You've got us there. You've got idols doing performances.
I wouldn't be surprised if they got the gaming set up again as well. Yeah. If you want to go and play like a gaming tournament, like Super Smash Bros. And stuff like that. There's always, there's card game tournaments. There's board game groups as well. Like, yeah, there's a lot. Look.
And I'll be honest with you, as a regular con goer, talk to the artists at Artist Alley. They are so lovely and so fun to engage with.
Yeah. And, you know, being there and just being a vending machine is not fun. Brighten their day, as they have done with you with that kind of questionable poster you just bought, friend.
Is that all white? Is that your joke?
Are they kissing? As always, a big thank you to our Patreon members. If you want to get access to more content, head over to the Patreon. It's pretty cheap. We're pretty cheap dates, what can I say? you can get the pre-show, which is a whole second podcast and video series as well. Members start from $1 a month. Join us over there, get the show updates. That's it. Socials, we're on them. Apparently I might be handing the keys to the socials to Aaron and Tifa for a while, and that's probably a good idea because I haven't done much. But look, if you'd like to follow us, details in the episode description, and that's it. We're back in 2 weeks' time. There's going to be a lot of small changes coming up for the new year, for the
couple of nickels, couple of dimes.
Couple of dimes.
Some small changes.
Maybe a 50 cents.
Into
club. Be dangerous. that's where we'll leave it. You've been listening to Quiet Fire Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time,
watch some anime!
When I went to the cinema, there was a couple in front of me, and when Aki and Angel showed up, one of them went, "They're gay?"
Not in Russia.